Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you with us here this morning. If you are a visitor, welcome. Yeah, there is in the pew in front of you, there is a Connect card. If you would fill that out and give us the information, your name, address, and phone number, we'll put you in our system so we can get a hold of you. And if you will take that back to the Welcome Center in the back, we will get you a cool coffee cup. So we just want to thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us online, welcome. It's wonderful to see you. Great to have you with us here digitally. A bunch of announcements to go over with you, and I'm just going to try to handle these as quickly and as efficiently as I can. The first one is after the service today, there will be an informational greeters meeting in the fellowship hall for those who are considering being a part of the greeting ministry here. You're going to definitely want to be a part of that. We're going to tell you a little bit about what you'll be doing and kind of the rotation, all that's going to work. So if you are interested in that ministry, please be involved with that. We're also pleased to announce that Sarah Sherman has accepted the role of our new women's ministry director. And so Sarah is right there. We want to raise your hand. That's Sarah. So just want to let you all know that it's wonderful to have her. Just wanted to let you know that what the group is doing right now is they're praying for the next month, maybe two, maybe three, however long it takes, just praying for the ministry and praying that the Lord would give some direction to the team about how to kick off the women's ministry. So she's around, but it's going to look like there's nothing happening, but there's plenty happening. It's just definitely happening behind the scenes. Next Sunday is the last Sunday that St. Bart's will be here with us. So what we're doing in between services is we're going to have a cake reception for them out in the foyer. So if you can, if you're not in the ABF, if you can be here around 10 o'clock, and then we'll just be in the foyer and just ready for them as soon as their service is over. They'll come out, we'll feed them cake and just, you know, hug them and just say that we're so glad to have them and all. So we'd like you to be involved in that. The ABF then will join us at about 10:30. That's what time they finish up, and they'll join us at 10:30, and then we'll just have a time of fellowship with them and talking to them about the memories of them being here and also the exciting future that the Lord has for them. Also, on that same Sunday after the service, there's going to be a really short congregational meeting, and the congregational meeting is to vote over a new contract with a group called Bright Lights Community Theater. It's community children's theater, not community. It's children's theater. So it's a Christian organization that's been using our facility over the last year, but they've been using on a, they've just been coming in for activities. They're wanting to use the facility a little more often than they did last year, and so we're considering entering into a contract with them, which has a lot of benefits for us and for them as well. So next week after the service, there'll be a short congregational meeting to consider that contract, and then we'll vote on that, and then we'll be on our way. There are a few other announcements in there about the choir and handbells and a crafting group and an ABF. There's a couple of other announcements in there. Please make sure you read your announcements just to find out what is going on in the life of the church. One other thing that we would like to say to do is if Tina and Bruce would come up. This is Tina and Bruce's last Sunday with us. I mean, they may come back and visit, but Bruce has taken a position at a church in East Texas, and so they are going to not be with us next week. So this will be their last week, and so we wanted to express our appreciation to them. So this is a gift for Bruce. And because Bruce is such a trickster person, don't open this in front of everyone. Really, there's nothing to it. I just wanted to mess with him. And this is the new, I've been informed that this is the new cool thing. These are, what are these, Lisa? What are they? What is it? Orchids, yes, this is an orchid. This is the new cool thing. So this is an orchid, and there's like a special way you're supposed to water them and all that jazz. So this is for you. So thank you. So good. So anyway, so I'm going to pray for them, but they have been with us for a very short time, and Bruce especially, more so than Tina, but Tina definitely too, we have had an opportunity to be loved on by them, and we're very appreciative for that, and appreciative for everything that they did. We knew kind of going into this wasn't a forever thing, and so we knew we would take them for as long as we had them, and that day has come, and so now we're losing them, but we want to send them off with our love. and send them off with just a warm feeling about their time here. So if you would, after the service or next time you see them, just tell them you love them. You're going to miss them, and we'll be in prayer for them. So can I pray for you guys? Dear Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for this morning. We thank you for Bruce and Tina and their involvement here at this church. And we thank you for the ways in which they have jumped into our lives. Thank you for the ways in which they have tried to love us and to show us your love for them in a tangible and real way. And Lord, I pray that you would help Bruce, especially as he goes out to this church and as he takes on a different role. I pray that you would give him wisdom beyond his years. I pray that you would give him the same heart and love for the people that he ministers there as he's shown to us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them, bless their time there. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind them from time to time to come back and visit us. We love you and we pray all these things in your son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, church. Why don't we stand and sing together?
Reaching out to welcome you, God. Fill this place again with your song. Flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. Oh, 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 oh. Open wide our hearts now to yours. Every fear bow down to your love, that we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of a never changing God.
Sing it out.
All we want and all we need is found.
Whoa.
okay, I was just corrected. Those are not new flowers. Orchids are not new. Sorry, I said they were new. I thought they were new. New to me, I didn't know. So anyway, so that's not a new flower, it's an old flower, but that one is new for you. So there we go. All right. So this is our meet and greet time when I encourage you to meet the people around you. And here's the question that I want you to ask and answer. Who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? So my name is Pastor Forrest, and I listen to where?
I don't know about you all, but in today's fast-paced world, how often do we get so impatient because things don't happen right now? Impatience, the word. I know I have little of it. But today, let's leave our impatience at the threshold of God. I'll be reading from the New American Standard today in Psalm 145. It's a psalm of praise by David. David is committed to worship and praise. Starting at verse 8 through 13. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All thy works give thanks to thee, O Lord. Thy godly ones shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all generations. May God bless the reading of his word.
I see who is the Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives, he lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my stairway. Thank you. see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. And there's nothing to fear now, for I am safe.
These days, most of the time I don't listen to the radio anymore, but this one came on and something about it struck me, and I thought to myself, well, if it cut me that deep, maybe there's a reason. And I feel like everybody needs to hear this one, so hope you have an open mind and an open heart, and just go a little deeper into the throne room this morning and worship. paying close attention to the words and what they really mean.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah.
So much that you're not a God that is distant, that has set everything in place, set it in stone, and then left us to our own devices, but rather you are a personal God, a God that wants a relationship with us. And Lord, we know that the first step is that we would first walk towards you to have that relationship. And if some of us haven't taken that step, I pray we would do that this morning. And for those that we've been on our journey, we've been on this path of sanctification for many, many years, I pray we would take this moment to refocus ourselves on you and on your purpose for us being here. Lord, you've told us that there's such thing as a great commission, and that we're not here just for ourselves, or even that we would find you and have peace, but that we're supposed to share it with others, that we're messengers to the world. Lord, I pray that we would not take our light that we've been given and hide it under a bushel, put it under our beds, keep it in our bedrooms, and say, well, that's such a good thing for me, but I'm too scared to talk to others. Lord, I pray that you would stir up a boldness in us, that we would talk to every person that we encounter and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what he's done in my life. And that's all it takes most of the time. People are eager for the truth. They're eager for you. Some of them just don't know it yet. Lord, I pray that you would help us do that this week. I pray that you would open up our hearts to receive what you have this morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
George Bosch was a discipler. George was my junior high boys Sunday school teacher. And he was a discipler. So this may be a term that you're not familiar with. You may not have heard it before, but a discipler is someone who intentionally lives their life in such a way that they kind of help other people in their relationship with the Lord. So the discipler is the person who interacts with another person and helps them become a disciple and helps them grow in their relationship with the Lord. So George Bosch was a discipler, and I was a junior high boy in his Sunday school class, and he took me and a couple of the other guys kind of, as you would say, under his wing and really tried to disciple us. Not just function in the class, but he really took an interest to help us grow. And one of the things that is important that I want us to see as we're looking at here is that there are a lot of people in our lives that influence us. There are people who have things to say to influence how we think and to how we act. So there are people who are influences in our lives. But what I want us to do this morning is I want us to start thinking about who are the people that we really listen to? Who are the people in our lives that we really listen to? Not who are the people who think we should do something a certain way, but who are the people when they talk, we listen? And those people this morning, for our purposes, are going to be a people that are disciplers. People that really want to help us grow in our relationship with the Lord. And the problem for us, and the problem for many people here in America, the problem is there are so many people that want to be influences in our lives. You have companies, all kind of different companies, who hire advertising agencies to try to influence our behavior. So you, whether you're watching the TV or listening to the radio or surfing the internet or whatever you're doing, you have these advertisements that are trying to influence you. But there are also other influences in your life. You have bosses or teachers that are trying to influence the way that you conduct yourself, at least at work. Sometimes they try to influence you outside of work. You have friends and family members that oftentimes are trying to get you to do what they think is right or what they think you should do. In addition, you have pastors, whether it be from this stage or whether it's on TV or whether you listen to them on the radio, they're trying to tell you how you should live. And you've got various other people in your life that are all trying to get you to do something. And if we listened and did what everybody else told us we should do, we'd be like a crazy person. We'd be going all over the place. We have to sift it out. We have to sift out and say, okay, this is a person I'm going to listen to, and this is a person I'm not going to listen to. We have to. We just can't do everything everybody wants us to do. And this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to ask the question, who should we listen to? What is the criteria of a person, be it a woman or be it a man, that we should listen to? What is the criteria? And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we find in chapter 2, which is where we're going to be today, in chapter 2, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing, and they're telling this young church in Thessalonica why they did what they did among them. Why did we act this way? Why did we act this way? And why did we act this way? And we're going to see is that as we walk through this, that what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy were trying to demonstrate is we lived a certain way among you so that you would be closer, walk closer to the Lord. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And as we look through this, we're going to see three things that they demonstrated to these young believers. First of all, they demonstrated that when we were with you, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, when we were with you, we were burdened. And I'll explain what that burden means. But then he also goes on to say that not only were we burdened, but we were blameless. And we'll talk about what being blameless means. And then at the end, it says that it doesn't use this word specifically, but I'll explain it. They were bapa, which if in some areas of the world, that is a term for father. And we'll talk about that when we get there. But what they demonstrated to them, or what they told them about, it says, hey, when we were with you, we did things this way. And this is what we did, starting in verse 9. And the first thing I said is, when we were with you, we were burdened. And the idea here is that they took the burden of the people that they were trying to help, and they took it on their own shoulders. Verse 9 says this, for you recall, brothers and sisters, he'll do this each of the times that he changes, talks about something different. He says, so you'll recall, so you'll remember. He's calling them to remember. Remember when I was with you, we did this. Remember this happened. For you recall, brothers and sisters, our labor and hardship. Labor, most people understand this concept of labor here. It's a term for work. And we find in the book of Acts that Paul often would go to these cities and he would have a day job. And his day job would be to be a tent maker. And so that was his job. He wasn't completely financially set so that he wouldn't have to work. So when he went to Thessalonica, he said, we worked. Paul specifically was a tent maker. Silvanus and Timothy, we don't know what they did. But then as it goes on to verse 9, it says, our labor and hardship. And the hardship there is referring back to what was before. They were persecuted. People were making fun of them. People were giving them a hard time. People were making life difficult for them. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, his guys, young church here in Thessalonica, our labor and our hardship, it was by working night and day. Now, this is, in English, it's a little harder to understand when you see that. You're like, oh, it must have been working night and day and night and day and night and day. That's not really the sense here. It says we worked through the day and through the night, not continually, but there were times where we worked into the night. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were preaching the good news, but they also had a day job. They had a job that they had to do, and sometimes the day job caused them to work into the afternoon or evening, and then they went out and preached late into the night, or vice versa. He says, look, guys, we worked day and night, not continually, but we were working. And we did this so as not to be a burden to any of you. So what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy did is they went and got a job to provide for their own food, to provide their own lodging and all. So they didn't have to go to this young church and say, hey guys, you should pay for our food, you should pay for our lodging. That's not wrong to do. It was actually set up. That was both within the Jewish culture as well as in the New Testament church. That was very common to expect that, so that's not a problem. It wouldn't have been wrong for them to do that, but they said, we chose to do something different among you because we didn't want you to be burdened. And that is how you know you've run into a person who is a good discipler. It's a person who takes your burdens off of you and puts them on himself or herself and doesn't give you theirs. It's an important key. We'll look at that a little bit more in a second. Verse 9 sends this, or finishes out this. We did this working day and night and day so as not to be a burden on any of you, that we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. And just a reminder here, what they were telling these young believers is that Jesus came down to earth, was a perfect man. He was a fully God man. He was fully God. He was fully man. He came down to earth, lived a perfect life, allowed himself to be crucified. And in so doing, he gave the opportunity for men and women throughout the centuries to have their sins forgiven and be restored into a right relationship with God. And that message is the message that they took to these people in Thessalonica. And in order to do that, to tell that message and be able to provide for themselves, they took up day jobs so they could do it. And they're demonstrating here the idea that a discipler is someone who takes on other people's burdens on themselves. A discipler is someone who looks at the things that are going on in your life and says, let me help you with that. And then they say, hey, let me help you with your... No, that's not what we're doing here. I'm helping you. They're willing to put their things aside so that they could help someone else. You know, George was a really neat guy, not super bright, because we were junior high boys. And so like in Sunday school every week, and we look forward to it, he would bring donuts. And the good donuts, obviously, he would bring the good donuts. So like within 10 minutes, we're just like bouncing off the walls. But we loved it. We loved it. To this day, I have no idea how much money he spent on donuts all that time. I have no idea. And here's why. He never asked us to pay him back. As far as I know, he never asked our parents to pay for the donuts. He didn't do any of that. He took that on himself and demonstrated to junior high boys that he was willing to take their donut burdens on, which indicated that he was willing to take our other burdens on as well. And I think that is the key of what Paul and Timothy and Silvanus was trying to communicate to these guys. Remember when I was with you, I took on your burdens. And that gives you reason to believe that you can listen to what I have to say. What I want to challenge you to do is I want you to think through your life. Think through the people that you would say are influences on your life or trying to be influences on your life. And think through those people and isolate one person in your life who actually tries to take on your burdens and help you, but isn't looking for you to return the favor. That's not wrong. That's what friends do. Friends are people who take on your burdens and you take on their burdens. You kind of share each other's burden. That's not wrong. But there's a special person who we're calling this morning a discipler, is a person who looks at somebody else's needs, takes them on himself, and doesn't look for anything in return. That's a true discipler. Do you have someone in your life like that? Do you have a friend? Do you have a family member? Do you have a person that's a little older than you? Maybe they taught you in Sunday school, or they were a part of a Bible study, or maybe they're a friend you've had for many years. Do you have a friend in your life who is burdened, and they are burdened with your burdens and not asking you to take theirs? Isolate that person in your mind if you can. The second thing we see from their example is that, well, first of all, that they were burdened, but the second thing is that they were blameless. Now, when you say blameless, it's a different word than perfect. Does not mean that they were perfect, that they never did anything wrong. It means that they were attempting to try to do the right thing. They were attempting to try to do what was good, what was righteous, what was good for the other people. And when they made a mistake, they took care of business. If they did something wrong, they apologize. They're blameless. They're sitting blameless at that moment. Not perfect, just blameless. With me at verse 10. You are witnesses. Again, he reminds them, remember when I was with you. You are witnesses of this, and so is God. God, who knows all of our hearts, will testify that we are telling you the truth. That's what he's saying there. God is our witness of how devoutly and rightly and blamelessly we behaved towards you believers. The first word, devoutly, is a term, how pious, how dedicated to God we were. When people saw, when the believers here in Thessalonica, when they saw these three men, they looked at them and said, those guys are committed to God by the way that they're living their life. They're committed. They're all in, whatever that would look like in their time period. He says, you know how devoutly and rightly they were just, they were right, doing the right things, and how blamelessly we behaved towards you believers. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are hearkening them back and says, hey, remember when we were with you? We did right by you at every turn. And that is what a discipler is. A discipler is someone who's blameless. Not perfect, but blameless. Someone who is trying to do what's right because they know you're listening. And when they do something wrong, they make amends for it because they know that you are listening. One of the things that George and I did a lot, and none of the other guys got to take advantage of it, but I did, is he would take me hunting. And so we'd go hunting together. We were hunting buddies. He wouldn't call me his hunting buddy, but I would call him my hunting buddy. Long story. So anyways, we'd go hunting, and it was a couple hours away. So we'd jump in the truck, and we'd drive. Now, I'm in junior high at this point, and I was a pretty dorky junior higher. I was in a very small Christian school, and let's just say I wasn't popular. And so everybody made fun of me all the time. So I looked forward to getting in the truck with George, because what could I do? I could complain about all these kids and what they were. These guys call themselves Christians. I mean, imagine me a junior higher, not like a 50-year-old guy. I'm like a junior higher. I'm complaining about this stuff. And George would listen, and he would always try to be gracious. He would always try to be gracious. Now, here, I'm this little junior higher. I'm trying to get him to be on my side that these guys are bad, and he wouldn't do it. He tried to be gracious to them. And that was his countenance all of the time. And I can't say that George probably was perfect. I don't think he was human. He couldn't be perfect. But in my eyes, even when I wanted him to be bad, he still wouldn't do it. He was blameless. And that blamelessness that he demonstrated showed me he was a man who could be listened to, because he tried to do what is right. And I want you to think about that person that you've identified in your life. And I want you to ask yourself, that person who takes your burdens, is that person blameless? Not are they perfect, but are they blameless? Do they really try to do what's right in front of you? And if that person does do that, you need to be able to understand that's hard to do. We all know how difficult it is to be doing the right thing all the time. It's hard. And it's even harder when you don't do the right thing, that you have to go to people and tell them that you're wrong. And if you find someone in your life who's willing to do that just to help you, it's important to take note of that. A discipler is someone who is blameless. Who should we listen to? We should listen to somebody who is, first of all, who is blameless. We should listen to someone who is burdened. And the last thing, we should listen to someone who is Bapa. A Bapa, I told you, is a term for a dad. It's a dad term. Other in parts of Asia and parts of Africa, that's the term that's used to refer to a dad. And what I mean by that is a fatherly figure who is involved in your life and is willing to tell you the truth in a loving way. A father figure in your life, this discipler, is someone who's willing to tell you the truth in a loving way. And this is often where people love to be involved. They want to be involved. They want to be an encouragement. But when it comes to telling you something hard, they don't want to do it. And that's not what Paul and Timothy and Silvanus did. Look with me at verse 11. It says this, just as you know, again, a reminder, this is what happened. Remember when I was with, just as you know, how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Just as you know, you remember how we were exhorting you. The word means encouragement, but the context here has to do with the idea of encouraging you to do something different, to think something different. It's exhorting you to do something, not in a mean way, not in a rough way, but just say, hey, let's do this a little differently. And encouraging, that encouraging just means to comfort and help in a hard time. And we also implored each of you as a father would his own children. And it says, we implored each one of you. So here they're writing this letter back to this church. And they're saying, remember, we did all of this to each one of you. In America, we have this whole Industrial Revolution mindset that disciples are these people that come down the assembly line and we do the same thing to everyone. And that's not really what Paul is saying here, because he's saying, we did this to each one of you. The implication is that we tailored what we said to your situation. It was an individual discipleship plan, if you will. What was best for you? Just as a father would do for his own children in verse 12, so that, and here's the reason, so that you would walk in a manner, the idea of would walk is the idea of you'd live your life in a manner worthy of the God, that your life would live in such a way that you would be worthy, that you would be on a similar plane of value with the God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. And Paul and Silvanus and Timothy were encouraging these believers and said, we did this. We challenged the way you were thinking. We encouraged you. We comforted you. We did this because we wanted you to live your life being worthy of being called a child of God. And that was the purpose. That was the incentive. And it's very different when you have a person who is willing to step into your life and give you something that will push you. Well, about a year before Lisa and I moved down here to Dallas, I called up George and I said, "Hey, George, Lisa and I are thinking about moving to Dallas. We're thinking about going to a seminary. What do you think?" And many of the people that I had talked to, up to the time of talking to George, many of them said, "This is a great idea. We think it's super encouraging," which I appreciated. But George was the lone person that I remember who actually had something for me. He says, "You know, this is a great idea. I think it's wonderful, but this is what you need to do. If you're going to do this, you need to make sure all your financial stuff is in place before you leave." And it was interesting because of all the people I talked to, I'm 50 years old at this point, so I'm kind of a big adult at this point. So most people are saying, "We think it's a great idea. We love it. We're behind you, da, da, da." But George actually said all that, and he said, "By the way, if you really want to do this, you should do this." He was willing to say something that would help. And that is the nature, that is the characteristic of a discipler. A discipler is someone who's really willing to be life, but doing it in a loving way. And you are probably a lot like me. You have a lot of people who are willing to be involved in your life, but it's hard sometimes for people to cross that line and say, "But I really think you might want to consider this." And it's even harder to do that in a loving way. So my question for you is this: do you have a person in your life who is burdened? Is there a person in your life who listens to you talking about what's going on in your life and they say, "Okay," and they take some of those burdens off of you and they're willing to shoulder them to help you? Is there a person in your life who's blameless? Not perfect, but blameless. They're really trying hard to be righteous. And is there a person in your life who's willing to speak truth to you, even if it's not what you want to hear? And here is my challenge for you. If you have that person in your life, listen to them. If you have that person in your life, listen to them. When I texted George a couple of days ago, and I said, "Hey, George, I'm going to use you in my sermon illustration. Is that okay?" He said, "Yeah, sure, that's fine. I don't have any felonies outstanding right now." That's just him. He just goofs around like that all the time. I said, "Okay, good. That's great." I said, "Is it okay if I use him? If I use your story?" He said, "No problem." I said, "Hey, why don't you fly down to Texas and listen to it in person?" Now, I was kind of joking because I didn't figure he would, and I'm looking around and I haven't seen him yet, so I don't think he's here unless he's got a mask on and he looks like Andrea. I don't think that he's here. So I don't think he showed up. But in the back of my head when I asked him, I was really hoping he would show up. I really was. This would be awesome. I would love to see him again. And then as I thought about it a little bit more, I thought, you know what? After 40 years, if George showed up in my life today, and he said, "Hey, Forrest, you know, I saw the way you were treating your wife, or I saw the way you were treating your son, or I saw the way you were treating your, I think maybe you should change," I would listen to him. I would. Why? It's not just because he bought me donuts when I was in junior high. It was not just because he tried as best as he could to be a blameless person in my life, and not even just because he was willing to sometimes say hard things to me. It's not just because of that, but it was because those things demonstrated to me that he was a person worth listening to. He was a discipler. And if you don't have a person like that in your life, I want to challenge you to find someone like that. If you don't have a person in your life that is living to be blameless and is trying to take on your burdens and is willing to say those hard things to you, then find that person in your life to speak into your life. At this point in the service, I want to we want to take a time now. We want to transition into our time, the Lord's Supper. And I want to just to remind us, if you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand. We have some gentlemen in the back who'll be happy to get those for you. This time is something we affectionately call the Lord's table. This is not our table. If you are here this morning and you are not a member of this church, you are welcome to partake of what we're about to do. We're more than happy to have you be a part of this with us. If you are a person who has an intimate relationship with the Lord because of your relationship with Christ, you are open to participate in this. If you are here this morning and you're still struggling, trying to make some sense of some of the things that are going on in your own life, and you're not sure where you are in your relationship with the Lord, some of what we're going to do isn't going to make any sense to you at all. And it's probably better just to let this time pass. Because this is an opportunity for us as a body of believers to remember what Jesus did so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. It is an opportunity for us to be reminded of the people in our lives who have helped us get to this place. But even all of their efforts aren't sufficient enough to get us into a right relationship with God. It's only what Jesus did for us on the cross. And the Apostle Paul quoted a conversation that he had with Jesus. And he said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Because for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Stand and worship together one more time before we leave today.
The point of weary, is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. He rises up from an empty grave. And ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know.
Couple days I've been kind of fussing with how do we talk about what we talked about here, and I'm already anticipating, and you may be too, that some people are going to be wanting to now come up to me and say, hey, I'm blameless, I'm burdened, and this is what I think you should do. And I want you to understand that the way that we've captured this is we've captured it from the disciplees' perspective. I'm trying to challenge you to look around you and look for people who are burdened and blameless and are Papa. Because that's really where it needs to start. The person who wants to grow closer to the Lord needs to find someone that they look up to. So please, don't go looking around at people and say, hey, you need to let me disciple you. This is not the deal. Trust me. It's not how this works. But I do want to challenge you. If you want someone in your life that's willing to do that, look around. And now you have a little bit of an idea of what to look for. If you need someone to pray with you after the service, I'll be up front. I'll be more than happy to pray with you. If you need someone to talk to, I'll be up here. There's other people that will step in and help if you need that as well. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.